Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Great to welcome you here tonight, and it's good to be worshipping together. And it was so good actually enjoying that wonderful baby child dedication. It was very special, and it was a great time. So tonight, we as a church community, we're starting a new series, which I've entitled Born to be Free, and it's taking an in-depth look at the book of Galatians. Six chapters, it's a great letter. I want to do a little bit more of an overview tonight, and then hone in on the first five verses, which is an introduction. Let me start by saying this is an amazing letter. It's a wonderful letter that's really spoken to believers all through church history, and it's really encouraged every part of the church. The commentator Anders stated this, that Martin Luther's favourite book was Galatians, comparing it to the love for his wife Catherine. This is what Luther said. The epistle to the Galatians is my epistle. To it I am, as it were, in wedlock. It is my Catherine. I wonder how Catherine felt about that. But he loved this book so much that it became one of his favourite books in the New Testament. But let me say also that this book speaks of the destructive nature of legalism. And this is really what we're going to focus on a little bit later. And legalism was such a huge matter for the churches in Galatia that Paul really wanted to write to this. And what was happening was the Galatian Christians were reverting to old practices and old belief systems, and they were trying to syncretize that with their newfound love in Jesus Christ. And it was a dire situation. So I think this book is great for us in the sense that it calls us really to stand guard against any form of legalism and mixing of any belief, because it has devastating consequences. Now, when we think about legalism, it comes in subtle forms and it comes in obvious ways. I remember growing up in the church I was, and in the church I grew up in, there had to be absolute silence in the building. You couldn't talk, you couldn't whisper. If a baby would cry out, every head would turn in almost disgust at why is that going on. And that's what I grew into. And I unconsciously took that into my early years of my faith walk. And I heard a baby cry or someone shout out, it would trigger something in me. And I'd go, well, that's a bit sacrilegious. And I'd begin to think like that. And then I realised, you know what that was? That was a man-made rule that was fast becoming a divine imperative in the eyes that made it, me. I'd made up a rule that really wasn't in the scriptures. Now, just in case you're wondering, I have been set free from that. Okay?
Amen.
Yep. Thank you. You can shout out, but not too much. All right? All right. You know, that kind of legalism, albeit very, very small, actually hinders, or may I say, can kill the welcoming atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. And we really want to welcome the Holy Spirit and to have His way. But what about bigger things? Some of us have been in the church long enough to know about a couple of believers who got caught up in some rigid sect that really told these two new believers a lot of things, what they could and couldn't eat, what they could and couldn't drink, how to read the Bible in a certain way, in a certain language. And they went back to the Old Testament law that said they had to go through the tabernacle to be saved again. And it was Galatians all over again for these two new believers. And those guys, they sadly lost their faith as a result of that. It was very sad for us. It was a heartache, in fact. And let me say this, God's heart is always for freedom. He wants us to be free, and He sets us free from captivity. And He sets us free so we won't go into captivity again and again and again. And God sets us free. And I want to say this, let's make no mistake about this tonight. Legalism is an absolute killer. Can I say that again? It's an absolute killer because it actually sadly killed the faith of these two young men who we haven't heard from for a long time. We start to get a picture of the backdrop of what Galatians is about, with the issue of legalism at the forefront. And so with that in mind, I want to read these first introductory verses in that light. This letter, this is from verse 1, this letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join in me in sending these letters to the churches of Galatia. May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from an evil world in which we live. All glory to God be forever and ever. Amen. So I think we've got a map there. Most likely, Paul had planted these churches on his first missionary journey. Is there a map there, or forgot to put it in next week? And it's in a place called Asia Minor. It's probably what we know as Turkey today, or Turkiye as the new sort of country name, so to speak. And the trouble with Asia Minor was there were many new religious options to choose from in the actual locale. And so when Paul and his team came to preach the gospel, they thought in their minds, oh, this is just a new deity and it's a new religion from the East. And so they had to counter those sort of things. But praise God, many Gentile believers were born again. But then what happened was, over time, a foundation was being attacked by the so-called Jewish teachers, Jewish Christian teachers, who actually were drawing these believers back to the law and back to works, the old patterns. Now, for Paul, he was absolutely furious about this. He was upset, and he writes what some have said is a fairly brutal letter, very pointed, as he says some things. This is what George, the commentator, says. From beginning to end, it's six chapters of 149 verses, bristle with passion, sarcasm and anger, a touch of tenderness as well. As the context reveals, though, this was the tearing tenderness of a distraught mother who must endure all over again the pains of childbirth because her children, who should have known better, were in danger of committing spiritual suicide. But Paul had planted this church, he'd seen these believers come to faith, and his heart was in distress because he desperately wanted his children to recommit to the only gospel, the gospel of grace that brings freedom in Jesus. And that's why Christ died. So tonight I've given you that just as an overview as we tackle this series together, but I want to look at verse 1 again. Because here we note, and I think we'll see verse 1 on the screen there, Paul's usual custom, if you read through his letters, was to offer thanksgiving. And he would offer thanksgiving for the church, for the people, even though there might be some issues. But in this case, he doesn't. He doesn't do that here. In fact, he writes that he is an apostle. An apostle is like this idea of an ambassador sent on a specific mission. And that's who he is. But there's a sense that they're calling his credentials into question. What I love about Paul is he says, "I am who I am." And he has complete confidence to declare that he is an apostle. I wonder what you think when you hear that, Paul saying that. You know, is he kind of just making himself out to be this apostle, maybe this maverick operating on his own? Well, we see verse 2 indicates otherwise. It says, all the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. So we see Paul is not operating on his own steam. His brothers are involved, his sisters are involved, the leaders probably from the church at Antioch. You know, there's people in the world that will label themselves the apostle, or they will label themselves the apostle Fred or the apostle Richard. And we don't feel that is the biblical framework. In fact, we would say when we speak of apostolic ministry, we always speak of that being in an apostolic team with others. I can just imagine Paul, who's the author of this letter, he's talking to his brothers and sisters and the leaders, and he's asking them, hey, these are the concerns I have. What's your feel? What's your read on the situation? I love that. Love that about Paul. Now, remember, it's sent to the local churches in Galatia. Remember, these are baptized believers that have come out of darkness into his glorious light. And he says this in verse 3, beautiful verse. Take it home. May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. So in the midst of what's going on, Paul is able to say that the Lord will give you grace and peace. You know, no matter how far a believer shrinks away from the faith, it's always, always grace. There's always peace. And I just figure that most of us need more grace. Most of us need more help from the Lord. Some describe grace as their unmerited favour, but I like to think about how does that impact our life? How does that affect our life? How does grace change us from the inside out? Have you seen the movie About a Boy? It's a great movie, if you ever get a chance, and there's a little poster up there about it. Stars Hugh Grant. And there's this classic scene towards the end of the movie. It's a great scene. And Marcus would be, I guess, maybe year 7 or 8, I'm not quite sure. But basically what he's tried to do is sing a solo to his mum in front of the entire school. And he's humiliating himself. And Hugh Grant, his character in Compassion, he can't handle this anymore. He picks up a guitar, comes on stage with Marcus and begins to play backing and even begins to sing with him. All the while, the audience or the school are mocking. So when the actual song finishes, you think they're going to get a round of applause, but they don't. They just begin to humiliate Marcus even more. And in that moment, Hugh Grant's character, he decides to sing the song again. And he begins to sing it in a very foolish way, drawing that humiliation away from the boy and onto himself. It's quite special, that movie, as you think of that. It's a great picture, actually, that Jesus took our humiliation and he took it onto himself as he went to the cross, and he took it and he nailed it to that cross. Hallelujah. And he endured what we didn't have to so we could come into relationship with our Father. Verse 4, Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned all along in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. You know, it's a wonderful thing to remember that we are saved by grace, received by faith. He's freed us. He's rescued us from the claws of the enemy. He's rescued us from being slaves and enslaved by sin. And he's rescued us so we won't be enslaved again and again and again, like the Galatian Christians. You know, I was talking about those two young men before. You know, sin, I'm reminded today, sin is such a serious issue. It's a serious matter. It's such a serious barrier between us and God. And there's no way for these two young men, what they ate made no difference, what they drank made no difference, what language they decided to read the Bible in made no difference. That Old Testament system had been fulfilled and is now obsolete because of the sacrificial death on the cross and Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Verse 5, Christ has made a way, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, we want him tonight to receive the glory. Him to receive the glory, not to us, but to him. And friends, if some of us, even here tonight or might be listening online to this, if some of us have tried to work out our salvation in order to please God, that is never going to work. It's what Jesus has done on the cross that saves us from our sins, and we are to put our faith in Jesus as Lord and to believe in his resurrection. So there you have it. We see a battle that's going on in the Galatian churches between legalism and grace. And so bad was this issue that if it continued that way, potentially the church may have imploded as a result. And we don't know, but it may have gone on. So as we start out our series, I start out with this kind of line, if you like, and let us remember that legalism is lethal. Can you remember that? Legalism is lethal. Can't even say it. Legalism is lethal, but grace is freedom. Christ died so we would be free. For freedom, Christ has died. Let us remember this phrase, legalism is lethal, but grace is freedom. Can I encourage each and every one of us this week? Let us bask in the freedom of God's grace. And maybe as we start this series, we continue, and I'm putting myself in the same basket as all of us, to be on guard about going back to old patterns or old belief systems or old ways of thinking even as we think about those things. Here's three things I want to share that will help us guard against those things. Here's the first one. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5. Even the things I'm saying tonight, we should always test. Whatever speaker comes up, test it against the word of God. Hold on to the good, let go of the evil. Here's the second one, stand firm. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's a little bit later in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Meaning, not going under a yoke of slavery again. And here's the third one, which I think is great. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know what I desperately want to see? I just want to see more of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, maybe our prayer would be, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit come. Let him fill us to overflow. Because where the Spirit is, there is freedom. And that's a promise in the Word of God. I want to finish tonight by just sharing, as we launch this series, there's a great translation called The Message. I know many of you would know that. But Peterson often writes an introduction in The Message. And he wrote this somewhat, I've sort of condensed it for our purposes tonight, but this was his introduction in the book of Galatians. When men and women get their hands on religion, one of the first things they often do is turn it into an instrument for controlling others, either putting or keeping them in their place. The history of such religious manipulation and coercion is long and tedious. It's little wonder that people who have only known religion on such terms experience release or escape from it as freedom. The problem is that the freedom turns out to be short-lived. And Paul's letter to the Galatian churches helps them and it helps us recover the original freedom. It also gives direction in the nature of God's gift of freedom. Most necessary guidance, for freedom is a delicate and subtle gift. Easily perverted, often squandered. I love that phrase. Freedom is a delicate and subtle gift. Some of us have done over the years in the course of our ministry here, prison ministry, and some of our members have, before they came to Christ, perhaps they had committed crimes and then they came to Christ and then they had to face the consequences and they had to serve time in prison. And some of our team have really cared for those people, visiting them and sharing with them. And often we would hear a person, you know, who's currently incarcerated, they want to change their life. They want to make a change for the future. And the more time they spend in jail, the more they seem to say they want out. They want to get out. And after several years, they're able to walk out of that jail and experience release from captivity. And it's a very special moment for that particular person. And in their minds, they never want to go back to that again. They never want to go back to jail and they set a course to try and stay on the right path. Now, reality is some do go back to jail because they don't make the change, but some are able to get their life back on tracks. And perhaps it's because they realise that this phrase, freedom is a delicate and subtle gift. And that's what I want to capture tonight for us, friends, that we have ultimately been set free by Jesus Christ. He has set us free. And in this series, let us be on guard against any form of legalism, maybe manifested in the old life patterns, and to really treat freedom as a delicate and subtle gift for what Christ has done for us, and to live under the grace and the freedom of Jesus. Love to pray. I want to pray and set apart and dedicate this new series as we journey together in this. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this amazing letter, really. We thank you for, Lord, the way it speaks to us today. And we pray, Lord, as we bring the scriptures week by week from the book of Galatians, Lord, would you bring that alive in our hearts as the various speakers will bring different thoughts and insights from you. Lord, you would bring insights outside of that that would cause us to live in a fresh way. It would cause us to say, I need to be set free from this aspect or this addiction or this kind of thinking. Lord, you would lead us in this. And we tonight just thank you, Jesus, that you died for our sins, that you were buried, and that you rose again to give us new life. And we thank you for that incredible gift. We bless you and we worship you, and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.